Are you a fan of young adult novels?
Have you ever wondered the stories behind the people who wrote your favorite young adult novels?
Then join author Eric J. Brown
and Alyssa Lube of Netflix's The Circle
every other Tuesday on YAOK.
Available on all podcasting apps. Woo!
Donkey Lane is a magical apartment complex that contains immense power, but lacks intelligent inhabitants.
What is happening?
I'm getting texts.
Why are we getting a lot of texts?
People found out what we did.
Oh, dividing Mike Myers into an infinite amount of tiny Mike Myers?
Listen to 91 Donkey Lane for free on Spotify or your favorite podcasting app. More at 91donkeylane.com. See you there, you donkeys.
Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of Horror Movie Night. This is one of the, either the first one or the second one that we're doing live from Monster Mania, and live I mean in our hotel room.
Booyah!
Yeah, listen to that crowd. This is the first episode of Listener Submitted Month, and this one, I did not write down who the person was that emailed us, but they said, I would like to submit Subspecies from 1991. It's a cool take on vampires. However, I feel like Tales from the Crypt Demon Knight ripped off the villain. Being a full moon production, it has the campy feel I love from that era, but it is not directed by Charles Band, so it isn't too ridiculous. So I will try to look up later on who actually sent that email.
I think it's best they remain nameless, personally.
So I think that we're going to be pretty well split halfway down the middle on this one.
No, this is just like our favorite food of beets.
This was
this
Greg.
This is a pie.
Not beets.
This was
this
from
is
Greg
75%.
D.
Is one way, and then a nice slice of a beets.
wait. Are you trying to say that I am in the not beets part of subspecies?
Are you a subspecies?
I would call myself half a beets of
half
subspecies.
A
so.
And
no,
I would
so
also sub-species. Say I'm about half beets.
Oh, Calcutta from the... he's over here giving the color commentary, making me sound funnier. Or stupider, but yeah, like I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either.
I don't ever want to watch it again, though.
I don't like love. I don't like romantic vampire movies.
Well, that pretty much ruins 90% of vampire movies.
Wait,
then,
this
it?
Is what no one seems to ask, right? I get it. We all know the rules of vampires, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's only certain ways they can die.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean they're not carriers. Mm-hmm. Of a bunch of diseases. Like when he, yeah. when his dick goes inside a girl, I'm just thinking that is the bubonic plague that he is injecting into a woman that hasn't
yeah?
seen the bubonic plague.
Yeah,
years.
You think? Is that?
They can be carriers of STDs. It just doesn't affect them because they're undead. It's insane
bruh.
To think that they can't.
Bruh. I don't
is
know.
Is no
man.
One with me on this?
No, I don't think that. I don't think that semen carries vampirism.
You obviously never met a vampire, Scott.
I have also never seen a vampire movie where fucking a vampire makes you a vampire. Jackie, have you ever seen a vampire
that
movie?
That being said, we have seen werewolf movies where fucking a werewolf makes you a werewolf.
Demons.
I'm not
ginger
saying
snaps.
That. I'm not saying that.
Okay, okay. Okay, that's fair.
And fucking a demon can make you a demon in Night of the Demons. But yeah, I don't think I've seen a vampire.
Yeah, because the possession is pretty much an STD in Night of the Demons.
Uh-huh. But yeah, I don't think I've seen vampirism passed through sex.
No, I'm not saying.
But I also
is.
Don't know
I'm
many times
other
I've
diseases.
Watched a vampire fuck somebody. Like,
I'm saying other
diseases usually way more
through
sensual
a vampire.
than horny.
Yeah, I would say that the vast majority of what vampires want is to seduce your girlfriend in the club and then drink her blood and turn her into a succubus.
Yes,
they don't really want to bang them.
But the big brother from Lost Boys in this movie doesn't want to suck her blood. He wants to be in love with her and have sex with her and make vampire babies.
Wait, wait, wait.
Is no, that he's just making a reference. It is not the guy from Lost Boys.
Okay. It kind of looks like him, though.
Yeah. Were you able to get your way to... Because this one feels... Back. I mean, it's full moon, so I feel like there's a possibility, but
now,
I'm worried
degrees?
That...
6 degrees? No.
Are we really beyond the 6 degrees? You had to go further than that?
Yeah.
Damn, that's like a first.
Brian, how about you tell him when you took the time to figure this out?
What, right now?
So I came up here to do some business.
Pooping.
Pooped. I pooped. I shoo-shooed. And while I was shoo-shooing,
Wait, didn't you used to call it making a grumpy?
I made a grumpy.
That is the most childish, immature, yet wholesome.
And what was pee-pee? There was
sissy.
You made a sissy.
Let me tell you. Let me explain you something.
I got to go inside and sissy real quick.
What's childish is eating at a
Kyle's face is the highlight of this.
Listen, you're not... It's out of context, right? When you're
we're
at
in context, love it.
When you're at a fancy restaurant, a real nice fancy restaurant,
Olive Garden,
you're not like you're taking a dump, right?
Listen, he's a Carrabba's guy when it's fancy time. Yeah. Olive Garden
with
for
the Tommy Bahama top and the sweatpants.
So we were at Golden Corral, and I said that I had to make it grumpy because I'm not going to say poop in front of everyone, and then I'd be like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom again, just a sissy, you know. It's nicer.
Sometimes I think about my life and I'm like, what brought me to this point?
I don't know, man. So 6 degrees of Beetlejuice. Anders Hove, who was in The Boss of It All, who had Jean-Marc Barr in Le Divorce, who had Stockard Channing in A Different Approach with Michael Keaton, who was in Beetlejuice.
Not bad.
Nice.
Is that 7?
And I just realized that we've been recording for about 7 minutes, and it should be time to also introduce. We've got a guest on this episode.
Oh, yeah, that would help.
Jackie from the Jersey Ghouls, who we've actually talked to so far during this recording. But I'm rude. So, Jackie, before we really dive into this movie that you have been very vocal that you enjoyed, why don't you tell us a little bit about the ghouls? Because I have a sneaking suspicion that your other co-host will be on a future episode, but she might have another project that she's promoting. So let's have you do the Jersey Ghouls.
Sure. No problem. So Jersey Ghouls is a horror movie and culture podcast where we talk about all the kind of stuff that you guys talk about, but we put a little bit of a feminist twist on everything that we talk about, kind of spotlighting women in horror, people of color, and the LGBT community.
All right. Cool.
And we love them. We met them 3 years ago at Monster Mania.
Yeah, our first Mania, and a friendship was born.
A love child of sorts.
Yeah. I would agree.
That resulted in a two-table neighborhood at Mania this year.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was
this
us.
This is easily the best Mania.
Oh, fuck yeah. It's really going to suck next year when we have to try and top this year's Mania. First of all, because we had Jersey Ghouls, Fright School, Horror Movie Night,
Kyle.
Yeah. All between two tables. Second of all, because I bumped into Danielle Harris 5 times.
And I did twice, but only recognized her once.
It was the best part about that is, and I'm telling this on air, even though you've told everybody more than once today. So Brian sees her after I see her and get a selfie with her because she's literally 3 doors down from us on our floor. I go back downstairs and I'm like, guys, I just saw Danielle Harris and I got a selfie with her. And Brian's like, where? What? I'm your shadow for the rest of the day. And I was like, okay. And so she walks by our booth, and he's like, is that? And I'm like, he's like, that's not Danielle Harris. I'm like, that's fucking Danielle Harris. I was like, come on. And so I'm like his life coach. I'm like rubbing his shoulders as we're walking halfway around the ballroom because he's not walking fast enough because I know in his heart of hearts he's going to puss out. And so I'm like pushing him. I'm like, dude, you got this, buddy. I'm like, he's what's the coach in Rocky?
Mickey?
Yeah, and he's Rocky. So he goes up, he taps her on the shoulder, he shakes her hand like a fucking goon and like is like, I love your work, and walks away. It's a 3-second experience.
She is a famous, she's famous.
And she's a 9.
And she's very pretty, and she's somewhat a sex symbol.
I want to defend you on this. Because as someone who's done convention stuff and done, like, the film festival stuff, if it's a big crowded area like the ballroom, I think that she appreciated that you were just kind of like, hey, I really like your work. I don't want to draw attention to you so that everyone mobs you.
Yeah.
Like, everybody knows it's Danielle Harris. It's not like she wasn't doing photos.
What I had a business card that I slipped.
Sure. Yeah. Sure, Brian. Yeah.
No,
she's going
to... I pussed out. She wasn't on my list. I couldn't get it annulled in time. The only person I'm allowed to sleep with this weekend is Christina Ricci, and she's nowhere to be found.
Basically, that's everybody at this entire convention, men and women. Like, she's got 15,000 people who are like, Christina Ricci, please just
the line
touch my
for
arm.
Her like it was autograph insanity. Was insane. It came into the vendor's room.
It went around the entire vendor's room.
I have, though.
Yeah.
I just go, listen, I'm engaged. I'm allowed you. Everyone else, there's options for them. Not for me.
Hey, Brian, I hate to break it to you, but there are no options for you.
Yeah.
I know.
And I like that your theory is that she would just be like,
take pity.
Yeah. You clearly are someone who's been watching too much Friends at night.
And here's the thing. A part of me is like, all right, this is getting too much in my feels right now. Let's derail it back to subspecies. But the whole time I was watching the movie, I couldn't get over vampires transmitting STDs, and that's all I have. I blew my load as soon as the episode started.
So basically, it's exactly like when you shook hands with Danielle Harris.
Yeah.
So
splurged.
So, Jackie, you liked this movie.
You did. Yeah. And I really want to know, Forest for the Trees, what you liked about this movie, because then we can use that as a jumping off point. Because if you don't tell us that, it's basically going to be the two of them just ripping this to shreds.
Okay.
It's not going to look. No, I want to clarify, not ripping it to shreds. I think everything involving the vampires is really, really cool. It's anytime that we go away from the vampire and have to deal with the people for
the
45
pacing's
minutes.
Garbage. I'm not saying that, but if you watch it Scott Rogers style, it's not bad.
I'm not going to say that this is a perfect movie by any stretch. I will say that this movie is heavily nostalgic for me.
You binged all three movies.
I did binge. Here's my reasoning why I binged all three. Because after, you know, we're doing subspecies, I look it up and I'm like, oh, wait, I know this movie. I'm like, I recognize that vampire. And then I remember, like, this was a movie that, like, came on Sunday afternoons on like Philly 57 that like always played like the Sunday matinee on cable TV. And I remember, I didn't remember which movie, but I remembered a specific scene, like actually not a scene, but like I remembered the ending of the movie, but I couldn't remember which one. So of course I'm like, well, obviously I'm going to watch the first one for this, but I'm like, okay, so it wasn't the first one that I remember. Maybe it was the second one. So I watched the second one and it wasn't the second one. So I'm like, all right, you know, best of luck. I'm going to watch the third one. I mean, I know there's four, but I didn't think it would be that one. So it did turn out that it was the third one that I remembered. The first one is definitely the best one of those three. The third, I like the first one, the third one, the second one. But this one, okay. So I think this one, so there's a nostalgic factor for me that like I remember watching
this
as a kid.
I mean, like I'm not stopping you, but that's really horror movie night. That's really all that we care about.
But also I had a nostalgia factor for Leprechaun 4 and that was... Oof. Destroyed watching it. And Scream 3. Destroyed watching it.
I feel like you just have really bad...
She still loves it, and we need to get to the bottom of this.
Your picks so far have either been you just picking some random shit that's been sitting on your DVD shelf like the plague, or you destroying your childhood by really trying to defend something that didn't turn out to be so great.
I know.
Well, I also like... I like the style of the vampire. Like, I like the way that Roger
looks. Yeah, he's a Nosferatu.
I mean, it's like, to me, like, it looks, I said it looked like Skeletor from Masters of the Universe fucked up, like, Buffy, like, vampire. Oh, and, like, that's
what
we got.
Why didn't we get that scene, though? Because I would love to see that.
Yeah.
I want to see Skeletor getting it on. I want to hear the clanking bones, man.
So I think the first 5 minutes of this movie is fantastic.
Like, because Angus Scrimm is in it.
Well, not just that. Like, the fingers, like, crawling around looks really great.
That's cool.
Then they turn into the minions, which didn't look
looks
so great.
So bad. I feel like those minions... What is this movie? 1992?
91.
But... Okay, so this movie, I feel like, probably looked pretty shoddy even in 1991.
It looked like nightmare creatures. It looked like a PlayStation 1 game, nightmare creatures.
So I feel like, when I was watching the movie, it seems like the issue... is if there's only one minion on the screen, they're able to make it move like fairly decently. But if they have like three or four trying to move at once, they're lost. They don't know and how to do it.
It switches. I'm fairly certain it switches. Now, I watched it on my phone, but I've seen like it switches from CGI to claymation. There's a few where
are
like,
they claymation or are they Are they short people that they put on a green screen?
He wanted to do short people in costumes, and he didn't like the way that they looked because they were over. He said they were overacting, so he moved to claymation. So that
Poor Warwick. Wow, just he needs to fucking chill his privilege. All right, they have to work so hard because they're not tall.
Why isn't he bending his kneecaps?
Have you never seen Phil Fondacaro in a movie? Jesus Christ! Oh, Phil Fondacaro was here this weekend. By the way, we saw him on.
I saw him twice this weekend.
I didn't see him at all, but I know people who did.
He almost hit me with a scooter.
So I actually do have a note that says there's this line where they see that funeral procession when all three of the so the storyline is that you see
I didn't bother. Nosferatu.
Radu is the bad brother. Angus Grimm, aka Tall Man, is the dad. He's the king of
vampires. Who has top billing for
Vladislava?
He's in this movie for 4 minutes, top billing.
They he got me the Beetlejuice, so he can have top billing.
He's top billing because they paid him. Nobody else got paid in this movie, but especially not the special effects of artists. But so the whole concept of the whole conceit of the movie is that Radu is a bad guy, and then his brother is a good guy vampire who wants to fall in love with a mortal woman. Dad dies. The Bloodstone is this mystical artifact that contains the blood of saints. And if you're a vampire, it's like this mana that will keep you from... It'll feed you without having to feed on humans. So it also gives you crazy powers. That's why Radu wants it. So he takes it from the dad. And then it cuts away from the cool stuff. And then you have these 25-year-old college seniors, because of course that makes sense.
And that's such a full moon thing. Everything's always like a college student research project in every full moon.
Yeah, I don't
and
hate
it's
it.
It's never in a library where college students are researching.
Yeah, I know. They're like, I'm doing my thesis. Let's go to Vladislava. Like, that's what happens. I went to college. I know that's not what happens. So anyway, these three beautiful women who are obviously way older than college seniors are doing their thesis project. Oh, are they master's projects?
Maybe, but still.
I think they might be working towards doctorates, so that makes it even more ridiculous. Well, it makes it less ridiculous because they would be 25. In any case, doesn't matter. This movie is a mess. So they come to this Eastern European country.
And they hit this funeral procession.
And they're like, oh, wow, this is great. That is a legit quote from this movie.
So here's the music during the funeral procession sounds like it's being played by the three musicians in The Nightmare Before Christmas that always have like the out of tune.
Yes. It's amazing. And then I want them to be like, in this town we go home. Everyone hail to the pumpkin song. La, la, la. We are a musical podcast that decided that we were going to talk about horror movies instead.
Poor Jackie has like a really good.
Yeah, she's got so many more notes than all of us.
She's got written notes, which is what I love. I love the fact that you and Matt write your notes out like fucking nerds from 1997. Like, you don't have a laptop, you don't have an iPad, you don't have an iPhone. You're gonna write them out.
I get distracted.
We've been through your reasoning, and I'm assuming it's the same reasoning as you, Jackie, but I just think it's so funny because I do all mine in Trello so that I can delete them as soon as we're done. I'm like, this is out of my brain. I'm done. I'm good.
I'm not going to lie. There's part of my ego that's like, I don't know, maybe the show blows up and this notebook becomes like worth something.
No one's going to want your liner notes, you fucking weirdo.
No, my reasoning, and this comes from... being in, I was a theater major in college and having to do
that
lines.
Explains a lot for why you like this film.
It's an easy way to memorize lines by writing stuff out. Sure. So for me, if I write it out, I don't have to constantly go back to my notes and flip paper because I can kind of remember exactly what I wrote.
Man, my brain doesn't work that way. As soon as it's either out of my mouth or onto a page or something like that, it's gone. Like last night, I was ripping apart Allison, and I it's not like I was blackout drunk. I just as soon as I say something, my brain's like, "Oh, you don't need that anymore. Let's put some put some stupid movie trivia in here that you don't need for tomorrow." That's exactly so Jackie. Why don't we just give you the floor? I will stop talking, which I'm sure our listeners will be so happy.
Also, do you plan on watching 4 and 5? Because there's 5 subspecies.
Oh, so, yeah, that's my question. Is if you would have not gotten that ending that you were expecting, or that section that you were looking for from 3, would you have continued until you found it?
Absolutely. I actually started to watch 4, and I got halfway through 4, but then I had to watch another movie for another podcast I'm going to be on, and then I ran out of time because it was time for Monster Mania.
All right.
Fair. Yeah. All right, so floor is for Jackie.
Oh, okay. Are we just more of why I love, or do
why don't you just do your thing?
Just do your
elevate
thing.
Horror movie night.
Yeah, make us semi.
Okay, I will elevate horror movie night. Here's another thing I really love about Raju, and I don't know if you guys picked this up, but did you notice that he's a titty man? Because every single girl that like he captured, he like instantly like opened her shirt or like sliced her shirt, and it's like, oh look, there are tits.
Okay,
I need to pause this story. Just for the audience who can't witness this because they're not seeing it live, Jackie is talking and she goes, I'm going to do this from the Jersey Ghouls perspective. And Marissa gets this look of like a proud parrot. And then you say titties. And it's like, she's just like, no!
You have corrupted her mind.
That's basically what happens on Jersey Ghouls all the time in my mind is like, Marissa's like, we're going to be child friendly. And then, you know, it doesn't happen. So here's the thing about Radu and titties. Is that Nosferatu are titty men. Have you ever seen the original Nosferatu? He is groping boobies left and right. Shadow the Vampire. We got booby groping. Listen, if I was a vampire, I'm pointing at Brian. Everybody in the room can see. I'm pointing at Brian because Brian gets it. Vampires are sexy. They're sexual characters. Like, let's just say this. Very old school vampires are actually more like revenants, and they're the souls of people that were sinners, like alcoholics. And so the idea in old European culture of the earliest vampire is like they have broken blood vessels in their nose and across their cheeks because they're alcoholics and they weren't able to get to heaven. So they're walking the earth as revenants. The idea of sucking blood kind of came later. And then the idea of the romantic vampire, which is the Victorian vampire who is Dracula, you know, that concept of Bram Stoker's Dracula, where they are kind of an incubus that finds women and put them under this spell, and then they suck their blood in a very sexual manner. That's kind of like a later idea, and Nosferatu is kind of a little bit of both. Like the original Nosferatu, where Max Schreck has the fingernails and he's got the two pointy teeth that are kind of in the middle, more like Radu than the Dracula that's got the incisors that are just, or the canines that are just very obviously like, you know, the more modern vampire. Vampires have always been a female sexual fantasy, or Victorian female sexual fantasy, where they can surrender themselves to sensuality. That was kind of the attraction of Dracula. So it's kind of funny that Full Moon probably doesn't know the history of Dracula and vampires.
Yeah,
and
that was much deeper than what I was thinking. Yeah. Right. I just looked at it as
Full Moon wanted to show some boobies.
Right. So look at some big old titties, right? And they're real. They're not fake. What are those old titties filled with? Blood.
That
is a one-stop shop.
But the thing is, Radu does not suck booby blood, does
he? No.
He sucks.
He sucks from the arm and he sucks from the neck, right?
Oh, and that's the second one that he goes up the girl's skirt. So never mind.
You're kind of selling me on subspecies too right now, because I would love to see some cunnilingus. It's been since Rockula, that we've seen some horror cunnilingus.
That is the best horror cunnilingus.
I'm pretty sure I've seen subspecies too, but only because I remember the beginning is like the minions pushing his head back onto his body.
Oh, isn't that ridiculous. The end of this movie though?
The end is just his eyes open, okay. But then yeah. Literally the movie starts right from that second, and it's these claymation minions dragging his head to like yeah. the body,
and
so
then,
it connects.
And then like the sinew from the neck and the
is
shoulders.
Is it bad CGI though?
Like really bad claymation and stuff, and they kind of like crawl together and come together and fuse.
God,
and then,
I wish that the listener
and then
could
magically
see what she's doing with
his
fingers.
His
perfect.
Hair gets so much longer in the second one. He gets
wow.
this like
I
long.
I bet that's
flowy
a wig.
Hair.
Some fuck. I'm guessing that's a wig.
I will say though that this movie is short. It's like an hour
yeah,
and 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's not
and,
long, but it's
I
full
have
moon.
A note,
it's long for full moon pictures.
Say,
yeah.
I have a note that says I'm an hour into this movie and I feel like I've been watching it all day. Because I don't Scott Roger most of these movies, so I'm in it for the long run.
You fucked up, my friend. Like, really, the subspecies is so lacking in meat that you can just go to the good shit. I don't know. Well, so here's the thing about the... I have to give subspecies and subspecies 2 some props, because if they're basically starting subspecies 2 from the exact final frame of subspecies 1, that takes some forethought, some planning... Full Moon is not known for either of these things.
And so, they did two, they filmed 2 and 3 within like
concurrent.
3 months of each other.
Oh,
like they,
sweet.
And so they, it's again, and 2 ends and 3 picks up exactly where 2 leaves off. And they
so
did that.
So are
on,
the male and female protagonists from 1, 2, and 3 the same?
No, they changed the female protagonist. They changed her in 2. It's a different actress, but she's the one in 2 and 3.
So is basically it the same character though?
It's the same character, different actress, right?
Yeah. I forget her name.
It's okay. Nobody that is in this room or yeah. listens will probably recognize your name. Like, no. There's no reason why that woman would be anyone from Full Moon Pictures would be listening to our podcast and be like, you know what? They fucked up by not saying her name on the air.
This poor woman in Subspecies 2 is now listening to this episode with a tear rolling down
no,
her face.
You know, who would be listening to this and tearing up would truly be the blonde who shows her boobs for the last 15 minutes and definitely did not get paid enough to show her boobs for the last 15 minutes. It is truly just way too much.
I would
way
say that most of the cast of any Full Moon film is basically like the Boulevard of Broken Dreams, because it's just a bunch of people that moved to Hollywood with real, real high hopes and just ended up doing like a $50 a week movie for Charles Band.
They're like, man. Is there catering? And he's like, no.
Well, I know
you
that
you can drink the wine on set.
Listen. Lloyd Kaufman has catering at all of his movies, but it's cheese sandwiches with nothing else.
Uncle Lloydy, that is that still or is that in the early 90s?
I mean, that's according to all of his books on filmmaking, is why spend money on food when you need to put that towards the movie?
You know what? He's got a point.
Are you a fan of young adult novels?
Have you ever wondered the stories behind the people who wrote your favorite young adult novels?
Then join author Eric J. Brown
and Alyssa Lueb of Netflix's The Circle
every other Tuesday on YAOK.
Available on all podcasting apps.
Woo!
'91 Donkey Lane is a magical apartment complex that contains immense power, but lacks intelligent inhabitants.
What is happening?
I'm getting texts.
Why are we getting a lot of texts?
People found out what we did.
Oh, dividing Mike Myers into an infinite amount of tiny Mike Myers?
Listen to '91 Donkey Lane for free on Spotify or your favorite podcasting app. More at 91donkeylane.com. See you there, you donkeys.
Listen, Mr. Pizza. Chill out.
And I waited and I ate half-assed PB&Js.
Yeah.
We were focused on the big picture, which was the Saturday night of beats. You can get the beats on a Friday. You can get it for lunch. And then you're unsatisfied.
Hey, so here's what you could have done is you could have had a beats last night, today for lunch, and tonight. And that would have probably saved you from a really mediocre peanut butter and jelly sandwich that your brother made and then asked you how you liked it.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to bring grease into this, right?
Grease the movie or grease the food?
Or
grease
both.
The movie. Right?
Can you present it in the style of a song from Grease?
So.
I suggest Sandy, grease lighting.
If Sandy and John Travolta, Danny... if they fucked all summer, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, they just fucked. She'd be like, oh, God, this guy's at my school. I can't get away from him. If I ate a Beats every day, I'm going to go home. But instead, I'm going to go home like Sandy thinks of Danny and just be like, oh, Beats. And me and my friends are going to sing, and I'm going to talk about what we had on it, and I'm going to bring up the fries and the french fries, and they're going to be like, tell me more, and it's going to be glorious. That's why you don't have it for all three meals.
Like, I'm not laughing because I can't.
I mean, we barely talked about
subspecies, but this is a great episode.
I think that you should cut that because it makes us sound like you have so much faith in your editing capabilities. So,
I feel like Jackie needs to talk a
lot. We tried that.
Here's my argument against that. Looking back in my notes, I don't want to further have my podcast partner give me looks because one of my notes is way to go, ball bag. You got yourself captured. So maybe I shouldn't take the floor.
So now Matt can't breathe.
Oh my God.
Thank goodness none of us are asthmatic because we'd be like sucking on our inhaler like that kid in It.
Man, listener submitted month off to a good start.
Fucking burning it both ends. So, Jackie,
yes.
Do you have any more zingers? Because if you don't, we might want to end there because you want to end on a high strung.
Yeah, I think that's the best that I got. My only other notes really kind of revolve around
boobies.
Like how juicy and wet Radu's mouth is like the whole entire time. Yeah. He's just constantly like just dripping. But yeah, well,
dude needs a fucking napkin.
All right, so what's everyone's double feature on this, Jackie? The floor is open to you as a guest.
Yeah, I want her to go first.
Actually, you know what? My double feature we already talked about because I paired this with another what I feel is like an underrated horror movie, and it's Shadow of the Vampire.
Son of a bitch!
That's so funny because Shadow of the Vampire is like a legit awesome piece of cinema. It's not just a good horror movie, it's a good movie.
Yes, it absolutely is.
And it's so much better than Horror Movie Night could ever do for it, but it's like it might be top 15 for me. It is so good.
No,
I don't watch
it
very often, but like it is so good that it's one of those movies that you can chew on it. You know, it's like Sleepy Hollow. It's one of those movies where you just watch it and it feels like you're eating Thanksgiving dinner with your eyes.
Sorry, Matt.
Kyle totally perked up. Hey, Matt, do you want a suggestion?
No. I've got a couple backups in my brain.
All right, I'm gonna go next. I'm going to tell you what my first idea was, but then what I replaced it with. So my first idea was Black Sunday.
Son of a bitch!
Bullshit, no way.
No.
No way. I know you. So I was thinking Black Sunday because I love Black Sunday. It is such a good movie. But again, I don't know if it would be a good mix with this because it's got that very Victorian, very gothic kind of feel to the vampire in it. And I can't even remember who the woman who plays the mid-lead vampire
is. I've never even heard of it, so I can't help you.
Dude, Black Sunday is so good. It's Mario Bava.
Yeah, but you're a vampire guy, and I'm not.
I am not a vampire guy. I have never once said I'm a vampire guy.
You've yelled at me for not liking vampire movies.
Which
on multiple
vampire
occasions.
Movies?
I don't know. You're always like, how do you not like vampires?
I want examples, or else I will not accept that.
You said, well, how have you not?
I make fun of you for everything.
Series.
Why you take that seriously?
That is true. That is true. That is true. You do make fun of me about everything.
Yeah. All right. So my actual double feature is Howling 2, Your Sister is a Werewolf. Because they both are in some random ass Yugoslavian country that they probably paid $20 a day to rent an entire fucking castle. It makes no sense. It is so off the wall. Stuff happens that doesn't make any point to the entire concept of the film or the plot or what's happening to the characters. And it's also a ride, but I would start with Subspecies and build the momentum to Howling 2 because I feel like Subspecies would be such a letdown if you don't start with it because Howling 2 is such a tornado of bullshit. We did a great episode on it. You know, listeners that have listened to our episode of Howling 2, Your Sister is a Werewolf, go back and listen to it, and watch it. Howling 2 is not something that you can explain to people. You have
experience.
To experience it.
Yeah,
it is a tour de force of shit.
Yeah. All right, Brian.
So,
swear to God, if you take my backup.
He's going to do it. I'm going to laugh so hard.
No,
I'm not
going to
take your backup.
You don't know my backup.
So this movie made me uncomfortable watching.
What, Subspecies?
Yes.
Why?
I was watching on a plane.
Yeah, there's so much boob groping. Yeah. That you, like, the kid next to you is like, Mommy, what's a boob look like?
Yeah, it really traumatized me. So I'm going to pair this with I'm a child. And I'm looking for a new movie to watch. And I'm going through our video collection. I found an unmarked VHS tape. VHS tape. And I pop it in my VCR. And it is a sex tape of my grandparents, made 3 years prior. Old grandparent sex. And then I'm like, I'm already this far. Let's watch Subspecies.
It's breaking the mold for what we normally do for double features, but you know what? I'm okay with it.
I'll take it.
All right. I was just waiting for Matt to go, damn it!
Hey,
no, Matt's never going to say no to that one.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know why you would turn it off. But so I went with
Is he wearing the Shriner hat or not?
So I really had Shadow of the Vampire written down on my sheet of paper, so I'm going to just quick riff, and Shadow of the Vampire makes me think of, Nosferatu, which makes me think of Dracula, which makes me think of my favorite Dracula movie, which is Dracula Dead and Loving It.
I thought he was going to say Dracula Dead and Loving It because he loves slapstick and
Mel Brooks. Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah, thank you. Leslie Nielsen and Mel Brooks. Nielsen. And I thought you were going to say fucking Monster Squad.
No, I couldn't go Monster Squad on this.
I feel like you could do Monster Squad every week and never get tired of it because it is your all-time favorite movie.
Well, how about that conversation we had where I was talking about, I was watching some documentary or something where they mentioned that some woman watched Sound of Music every day for like 400.
To get a Guinness World Record.
And I was like, I bet I could break into the Guinness, but I could top that with something, but I don't know what I could watch every day for years on years. And Scott's like, Monster Squad. Like,
it wasn't 100%. Even, I didn't have to use any brain power for that. Yeah. It was literally a reflex.
But see, part of me is like, I love Monster Squad so much that I also don't want to risk not liking Monster Squad because I've had to watch it 500 times in 500 days.
So the thing is that I don't think that you can ever not love Monster Squad.
That is true.
I feel like you can just be like, full.
But I think I'd be annoyed if there was like
pizza.
Like
a beat.
Because like the scenario would be like I'd be at Mania and instead of being able to just enjoy the day, I'd be like, shit, I got to get my hour and 20 minutes of Monster Squad in. Like, gotta get that Guinness Book.
Sound of Music is much longer.
Oh, Sound of Music is so long.
It's like 110 minutes.
And I'll watch it, and the songs will be stuck in my head for 4 years.
Yeah.
One time watching it.
So have you ever listened to the Hamilton soundtrack? Because that shit, Lin-Manuel Miranda, basically is the biggest brainworm you've... Taylor Swift is able to do brainworms, right? Or whoever earworms. Writes her music. Earworms, brainworms, whatever. Lin-Manuel Miranda writes them and they're good. And so you can't even be mad that they're stuck in your head. Like, seriously, Satisfied from Hamilton. That gets stuck in my head.
Yorktown's the one that's in my head all the time.
Really? The first and second act are the only ones that get stuck in my head. Third act, like, I could live without.
I only thought there was two acts.
Is it only two acts? I thought it was three, but it doesn't matter. The first half of it is all in my head. The second half just feels like it sounds a little derivative just because a lot of it is reprises.
That's but true, but
Yorktown,
that's musicals too.
Yorktown, like, yes. It's Broadway style musicals. But listen to Satisfied from the Hamilton soundtrack. 10 days later, you may be able to get it out of your head. I have a moratorium in our home that Megan cannot talk about Hamilton, cannot quote anything from Hamilton, because if she starts, I go, bah, 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 bah. The only thing that, because I just, my, I will go insane. if within the next 3 months, if I start singing anything besides Alexander Hamilton, that's, I may lose it. I may lose my job. I may, like, shave my head Britney Spears style. I may start sending threatening letters to Lin-Manuel Miranda. I may start dressing up with, colonial garb. I don't know what could happen.
Colonial garb is pretty dank.
Yeah.
Dank.
All right, so
Hamilton is Scott's double feature for Subspecies. That was Subspecies from 1991, as picked by Greg. Thank you, Greg, for your suggestion. We will be back next week with another one of your listener-submitted movies, and we'll be back with another one of the Jersey Ghouls. And this movie might feel like a porno that just never gets to the sex, possibly.
And this is why we picked the other Jersey Ghoul.
Yeah,
because we knew that we're pretty sure she could handle it.
In the meantime, feel free to go on our Patreon, patreon.com/HMMpodcast, and make a couple donations, get a couple episodes. We got Ernest Goes to Jail as our Patreon movie coming up soon.
I don't want to watch that.
Neither do I.
I love it, and I don't want to watch it.
And I don't love it. I don't love the concept at all, and I'm like, I don't ever want
to
watch
Ernest
Goes to Jail.
What's to not love? Ernest Goes to Jail. Like, what God, is that?
You guys are the worst.
Get into next? A coffin, because he died. Rest in peace.
Oh, R.I.P., obviously. And then also hit up our social media, Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff. HMN Podcast is where you find us. And HMNpodcast.com. You can also send us emails there, so that's fun. Anyway, we'll be back next week with another movie. Thank you for listening.
And Google.com, and you search HMN Podcast, and you can find any of us on there as well.
Yep.
That too.
Yeah.
There's also Bing.
If you ever want to see boobies, go to Bing. Look for some boobies. When you're done with your business, look up Horror Movie Night.
The amount of,
check out our cool GeoCities website.
Search history is like a new
Angel
thing.
Fire.
Because if Donnie Angel Jim fire. Looked up my search history in 1998, oh, man. Girl.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network. Are you a fan of young adult novels?
Have you ever wondered the stories behind the people who wrote your favorite young adult novels?
Then join author Eric J. Brown
and Alyssa Lube of Netflix's The Circle
every other Tuesday on YAOK.
Available on all podcasting apps.
Woo!
Donkey Lane is a magical apartment complex that contains immense power but lacks intelligent inhabitants.
What is happening?
I'm getting texts.
Why are we getting a lot of texts?
People found out what we did.
Oh, dividing Mike Myers into an infinite amount of tiny Mike Myers?
Listen to 91 Donkey Lane for free on Spotify or your favorite podcasting app. More at 91donkeylane.com. See you there, you donkeys.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.